Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it and must be 21 years or older.
Welcome, Extra Points listeners, and congratulations on making it through yet another week. Good news, the weekend awaits with its enchanting promises of endless sports and free time that ends up with you screaming silently at some jerk in the Costco parking lot instead. Or maybe I'm just projecting. Either way, we know how hard you work, and while we hope listening to all our shows makes that time go a little faster, we don't want that to feel like work in and of itself. So we've had our producers pick out their favorite bits and put them together in a half-hour supercut for you to sample. I know, I can't believe we have producers either. If you like something, check out the full episode the next week wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, thanks for supporting the network. And let me just say from the bottom of my heart as the co-founder that I sincerely hope your favorite team still loses to mine. Enjoy the shows.
To start off this best of On Minus Three, Dave Damashek and Kevin Hench talk about the uncomfortable situation caused by reporter Greg Doyle with Caitlin Clark. And Hench has a story that ties into it involving Conan O'Brien.
The Caitlin Clark thing, Adam. We talked about it with Sarah Tiana on Extra Points. I just wanted to get your thoughts about it. And my big takeaway is, Hench, it's weird and creepy instincts by the guy, but what he's trying to do isn't be a creeper. Clearly, the takeaway is, if you see that as, ooh, creepy stuff, man, is he trying to pick up Caitlin Clark in that spot? No. What he's trying to do is be funny, and it is a reminder that comedy is hard. And if you need another reminder, I refer you back to the last 20 years of my career. Yeah, it's very hard. So stop taking shots at Dave. You try and do it. You just saw Greg Doyle try to do it. He didn't do any better than your old dumb pal Dave did. Look at Kevin Hench. There's some real deals out there. But it's hard to do, and I'm offended by people's reaction to that. Jemele Hill's reaction, I get where she's coming from. It's like, people need to treat women's sports differently. No, they need to stop trying to do things that are outside their realm of skills, right? I mean, like, the idea that the paradox of sports is like, hey, that guy is really good at the ins and outs. Like, if you heard him on the air, he's really good. He knows how to bring it into the new segment. He knows how to get it out on time. It's like, that's rudimentary stuff. What's hard to do is to be clever within that segment. And yet the media inverts that dynamic all the time. It's like just, hey, go out there and have some fun. Like, don't tell a lot of people to go out there and have some fun because they don't know how to do it. How say you, Hench?
So I read his apology and was having trouble understanding.
Hysterical.
I was like, no. So he did the heart symbol?
Yes.
What else did he do? I mean,
he then was like, basically implied like, hey, we keep this up. Like, I'm going to write good things about you over the year, you know, over the time, like all that kind of stuff. It was insinuating like, hey, if we get along, right, we're going to be in good shape, you and me. And it had this vague sort of, because of the heart and his tone of voice and all of that, it had a weird, man, woman kind of vibe to it.
No, it's funny because, like, you know, as you were saying, like, when we're, if we're creating comedy, you know, if like, if, you know, it's, you know, it's Kimmel or it's, you know, Tim Allen or, you know, whatever, there is a vetting process, right? Like Jimmy goes through the jokes. So, you know, there are safeguards. Like, you know, we don't run out on live TV and do our what we think is funny. I'll share like, you know, probably the most brutal joke I've ever heard. And I won't attribute it to protect the innocent, but and the guilty. But this joke was pitched to Conan O'Brien right when Conan was starting out. And Conan was nervous and failing and, you know, thinking he was going to get canceled. And so, and the writer who pitched this was a super nice guy whose Achilles heel was, you're too square. Like, you know, this is late night you got to butch it up a little bit. You got to get edgy. So the joke,
I've been given that same note before by a high end creator.
Yeah. So, and I'm a little square too, you know, but like, so he's like, oh man, I gotta write edgier jokes. So he's reading the newspaper, you know, and he's like, oh, okay. Let me try to be edgy. Okay. So he writes this joke. And the joke is, 98 degrees today in Tokyo, hottest recorded temperature in Japan since 1945, when it was 1,000 degrees in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So it's like, whoa, not that. What are you doing? So this joke makes it into the pile that Conan is combing through. He's like, who wrote this joke? Conan is like, if someone found this joke, obviously I'm not saying it on TV. Obviously I'm not. But if someone found this index card in our building, the show would be canceled immediately. Like, what are you doing? And the guy's like, all right, I'll just go back to my soft square. Obviously I'm not good at that kind of comedy. So like, that guy was
now a sports reporter. Is that guy? Yeah,
right.
So without the guardrails,
was a professional comedy writer for decades. This guy's a sports I don't know who he is, but like obviously not funny. And so like don't try to be funny. It can only go wrong, and obviously it did. But it's like, yeah, it's not, to your point, there's no malice. It's not. It's just inept guy, ironically playing a sport he's not good at and paying the price. And it's like, it's also that thing of like, it's not funny. Like, you do get a little weird latitude if people go, eh, it's pretty funny, but it's like, it's just creepy. It's no one's laughing. It's super uncomfortable. So it's like, yeah, stay in your lane and you're super unfunny. I'm guessing the sports writing's no good either, just from reading his apology.
Well, the apology did amuse me. It's like, this is my thing. This is my whole bit. You know, I do this with everybody. It's like, really? How'd you get this far?
I creep coworkers out. I catcall them. It's my thing.
Myself, Dave Damashek, and Sarah Tiana on Extra Points discuss Robert Kraft calling Falcons owner Arthur Blank and telling him not to hire Bill Belichick.
Now, Bill Belichick wanted to come back. He wanted to be in a job at this time, prepping for the NFL draft. The problem was no NFL teams wanted him. And that's weird, first of all, because a lot of people allege him as the GOAT. That is hard to then line up why no one would want him. That's interesting. Also, he's an old man, and that probably is why, because how long is he realistically going to coach your team? By the way, I did hear 4 minutes ago you compare Tom Brady to Joe Flacco, and I'm going to tell Tom Brady that you compared him to Joe Flacco and see how he thinks about you after he hears that one. However, Eddie Spaghetti, sorry to bug you up there. Eddie Spaghetti coming to us from his childhood bedroom where he has his dry cleaning hanging up in the background. Classy look. Well, most people are listening to us.
Yeah, I have a wedding. Sort of to get everyone at the speed on the whole, you know, Belichick, Kraft, Arthur Blank scenario. Back January 25th, obviously Bill Belichick unemployed for the first time in quite a while. Every other head coaching vacancy was filled. Had multiple meetings with Arthur Blank on his super yacht in his home. Blank even flew Belichick out on his private jet. Meetings went well. Belichick at that time thought the job was his, and also said that like the Falcons have the group with Terry Fontenot and all the other front office members, that he's not going to meddle in their affairs. And then Arthur Blank is very, very close with Bob Kraft, went to Bob Kraft, said, what do you think about Bill Belichick? And of course, as we've seen in the, you know, the release of this documentary, it's pretty pointed, pretty against Bill Belichick. And he said, basically, do not trust him. And Arthur Blank went back to his advisors within the organization, and they all said, well, we don't have Bill Belichick ranked very high either. So if Bob Kraft doesn't like him, we don't like him. Let's not hire him. And now Sarah's new head coach is Raheem Morris. So, and Bill Belichick is without a job. And of course, now the Patriots are coming out and saying that never happened. Bob Kraft never said that. But, you know, ESPN did a pretty deep dive in the article. I believe Jeremy Fowler, Seth Wickersham, and a few others all contributed to this.
Wickersham, for the record, Wickersham is the guy who, whatever it is now, 6-7 years ago, probably at least, that the kerfuffle at the time between Belichick and Brady and Kraft, and Kraft took, if I remember correctly, Kraft kind of sided with Brady, and Belichick didn't like that, and they didn't want Jimmy G hovering right behind him. There was some momentum that Jimmy G was, you know, positioned to take over for Brady. I know that's hard to believe now, but at the time there was some thought about that. And so Belichick, how did that go? I don't remember exactly. Belichick shipped them across the country, basically, to San Francisco and put Jimmy G in a new spot. Wickersham.
He said, I'm going to make you a legend in your, I'm going to make this guy a legend in your hometown.
Right.
Basically what he said.
Right. And so, there was something beneath it that wasn't just
and
like,
traded him away for nothing. Remember, the Patriots got nothing in return.
But at the time, there was like, this is all, National Enquirer kind of jive and all that. But I think it's all proven out to be accurate. I think so. Wickersham is not somebody to sort of shrug off. It's like, that's somebody looking to get a headline. I think this is valid stuff, which I think is crazy that Kraft is telling blank that. It feels like it should be a monster story on some level. And Tiana, you're right there with Brady. I can't wait to hear what Tom Brady thinks about all this. Do you ask him? Like, how's that go when he gets on the Zoom today with you guys? He's not there physically with you guys, right, in the gym.
No. He's in Florida at his house. Usually when he looks all tan. No, I don't ask. I'll text him. No, I don't text him.
But I mean, if you're writing roast jokes, I don't think it's out of bounds to ask him, like, what do you think about all this?
I will ask him when I get him alone in a room for as long as I want. There's lots of things I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him if he really thought there was defensive holding 3 plays in a row during that Super Bowl, you know, stuff like that. But I am fascinated. I mean, obviously, owners have their besties, right? And they're people, you know, and everybody seems to like Arthur Smith and Kraft, like they all seem like they've
Arthur
always
Blank.
Like been on.
You don't want to be praising Arthur Smith. You moved on from him. He's for me to
deal. You're right. Arthur Blank and Kraft seem to be pretty close. So I wouldn't be shocked if that was true. I don't think that they could have even reported it if it wasn't.
Interesting too. Yes. There's legitimate, you know, professional risk. If you start shooting your mouth off about what billionaire is saying to another billionaire and you're wrong about that, they can take you to task for it. So yeah, the fact that, you know, whatever, 48 hours later, the story still stands, maybe kind of proves the merit in it. Interesting stuff as far as that goes. The bottom line is you have Raheem Morris. What do you think the chances are? Eddie Spaghetti. I'm going to throw it to you because the Giants really could have done it too. And there was some smoke that maybe Bill Belichick over the years would want to go back to the New York Football Giants. As objective as you can be, Eddie Spaghetti. Well, Sarah Tiana, scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you that 1 year from now she'll be like, I can't believe we didn't take Bill Belichick when he was sitting there and instead we took Raheem Morris? Concern level for your friend Tiana Spaghetti.
I am not, like, I don't think Raheem Morris is a bad hire in comparison to Bill Belichick. I think maybe if there was a better option, Raheem Morris, I'd rather argue that more so than Belichick, just because I'm not sure if I could fully believe in the Belichick not being a GM and his track record as a GM or meddling in like the acquisition of players has not been great. And unfortunately for him too, it's like, you know, we've had on guys like Chris Long and others who have played for Belichick and we've heard some stories. It just doesn't seem like he's really a player's coach. And I think in this today, you know, the world today where players are their own brand, they are superstars, they are making so much money, like they just don't need to be yelled at by like a 70 plus year old man. So I think in terms of that, Raheem Morris is definitely the better hire, but I don't think it's going to be that devastating to her. And I also think the roster is going to be a lot better. So they're going to be a good team.
Well, with Kirk Cousins, sure, the Falcons should be good. And so that then is the one team that you would say out of the 32 teams out there that with Kirk Cousins locked in, well, there are a number of teams that obviously have their franchise QB locked up. Do you think, Sarah Tiana, that if you were in some state of limbo as a pro football team, as in we don't have our QB 100% solved and we don't know exactly what the trajectory of our football team is going to be in this coming season, let's hire Bill Belichick right now. Let's move heaven and earth to get Belichick in there, because Tom Brady says he's now willing to come back and maybe we can get both of them. And maybe we can chase a Super Bowl together. Do you think that's plausible? Or do you think the existence of Belichick on a team would mean that by definition, Tom Brady would never go there?
I think that that Tom Brady would not go to play for Belichick again. I think that I think that they are too much alike. I think that that relationship eventually soured because they were the same person. And I think that's the only reason that it worked for as long as it did, is because they were two minds who really, really get along. You ever, like, my sister and my sister-in-law are so similar, and I was so afraid for them to meet because I was like, they are going to either love each other or hate each other. You know, when two people are too alike. And by all accounts, that is exactly how Tom and Bill are. They are like, Tom got into that Bill mindset and like always had that mindset. Like, and I just, like, as a Falcons fan, I didn't want to have to hire another quarterback in 3 years because of Bill's age. I felt like the Patriot way was like not a strong, it doesn't just fit. Not everybody can just do the Patriot way. It takes a perfect storm of mindsets for it to actually work. I don't think Bill drafts well. People go, oh, there's a Patriots fan here in my writer's room. He's like, he drafted Tom Brady. I go, he drafted him 199. He's like, but he was the fourth backup and he kept him on the team. And then he made him Bledsoe's backup. And like, okay, so he hit once. Like, he also drafted Mac Jones. He also traded for Cam Newton. Like, these are all quarterback assessments that I don't find to be a good star on your record. And that's the only thing to me that the Falcons were missing, was assessment at the quarterback.
With the NFL draft approaching, Jeff Schwartz joins Dave Damashek on -3, and they discuss if you should draft best player available or draft for need.
Are you better served to draft for need in this age or back in the 70s or whatever? Because to me, I feel like, I don't know if I'm getting confused. Like, the Steelers taking a center in the first round because they need to have one. They literally don't have one on the roster right now.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, shouldn't Trump Byron Murphy if he is the dominator? Yeah. If he is the guy, especially the way the game is going and how much you want to react to, like, hey, you know what's borderline essential for the winning teams these days is inside pressure. The guys who can do it. Three down interior defensive linemen, and this might be one. I feel like, well, you kind of have to take that guy, not the position of need.
I think it depends on, again, not to go back to this, but like where you grade those guys, right? Like if you have them equally graded, Dave, then I think you have to decide. But my only point about, I made this about the Steelers, for example, but really the center position, was we talk about the value of that position. Like, is it as valuable as other positions? I'll tell you this though, was Pouncey valuable to Pittsburgh? Like if you draft that center and he's good, you get 10 to 12, 15 years. It's pretty good value, right, Dave?
People are upset. You know what? People get to be known for positively. Teams get to be known positively and negatively for certain attributes. That's something as a fan of certain teams, I love the consistency of the way teams win. People, you know, in Pittsburgh, people love, like, dude, Steelers, they play defense and they run the ball. And it does feel like, to me, Kahn, Tomlin, Weidel really do want to do exactly that. And the center, and you talk about what the Steelers are known for specifically, from Webster to Demonte Dawson to Marquise Pouncey. That's a pretty strong lineage. Is Jackson Powers Johnson from your Ducks the guy for them to take at number 20?
I think he'd fit really well with what they want to do. And he, the mindset of him, I know him well, like his mindset's very Pittsburgh, like blue collar. He just loves football. Like, that's his entire life. Like, he is a football guy. you know, he doesn't have many holes. Like when you watch him play, there's not much negative in there. He spazzes out every now and then. But his ability to just be big in the middle of an offense, he's a really good pass protector, which I think will be important because then you have two quarterbacks there that hold the ball as long as possible. So having pass protectors, I actually forgot Wilson was on the Steelers for a second. I was looking at the roster, the depth chart, the offensive line. Oh, Wilson's there.
It settles in, you've come around, right? It's going to be what? Fields ultimately, right? I mean, maybe not week one, but I bet you by week eight or so it's Fields. No, you say it's going to be Russ.
Well, I mean, maybe by week eight, but then your season's lost by then if you go to Fields, in my opinion.
True. That's my concern.
Let's take a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code, listen up, Omaha Full, the word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager. Returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
With the NBA playoffs here, Mark Gunnels joins Toby Mergler on Trendy, and they power rank the Western Conference playoff teams.
Forget the matchup against the Nuggets, all right? Like, I know that's hard at this moment, but the Lakers in their current form and their current situation, you're a fan, so this is biased. Let everybody know whatever you say is not going to be free and clear of all bias.
I'm not objective, Toby. Come on.
But in your objective Homer opinion, because I've never known you to not give it, what would you power rank the West Conference at right now? Would you put the Lakers as the fourth or fifth best team, or do you think they're actually the eighth best team in a loaded conference?
They're definitely not the eighth best team. I think clearly the Nuggets are number one. We'll start there. You got an argument for two.
Oh, my God.
You do.
Oh, my God. You just told everybody you're objective and you're Homer. You just made the Lakers the facto second seed in the West. Come on, Mark.
So if the Lakers play OKC in a playoff matchup, who are you taking?
I would take OKC, but really? I'm bad in that regard. Well, one, like, yes, I know the size advantage favors the Lakers, and that's a massive understatement. But AD's got a gimpy back, and they have to hold up seven games with these, like, young guys, like, trying to run them off the court. And so the best argument for the Lakers is that they're going to control the series. They're going to basically do it early, and they can win in five. Because if it gets to seven, I just like the Thunder. If it gets to six, I like the Thunder. If it gets to seven, then it's anybody's game versus, like, old ass LeBron versus LeBron's game seven experience and trying to knock off the king.
But yeah, no, the way I look at it is I'm looking at it as if the Lakers play anybody in the West in a seven game series, who am I taking? And the Nuggets are the only team that I probably wouldn't pick the Lakers to win a series against in the West. I think, like you mentioned, OKC, they're too small. They're young. They don't have no experience really in the playoffs. Minnesota has a little experience, but I'm not buying Minnesota. He's coming back, but he's not the same right now. The jury's still out for me. You know, you go down the line. I mean, the Clippers, are you buying the Clippers? I don't know. I mean, I just don't see nobody outside of Denver that I can say for sure they're beating the Lakers in a seven game series.
All right. We'll do more of this on Wednesday, but I've got to go to the tape after you just said this.
That's fine.
Odds for the Western Conference. The Nuggets are plus 120, and your beloved Lakers are plus 1,400. There are five teams in between. So the Lakers have, what, the seventh best odds? And you're telling me they're the second best team. And so you're rushing right now. Rushing to get your action in on the Lakers to win the conference at plus 1,400.
I've already put in a bet that they're going to win the NBA Finals, Toby.
Plus 2,500 to win the NBA Finals. Well, Lakers fan over here.
I got it like at 28. I did it a couple weeks ago. I got it at 2,800.
2,800. So Clippers plus 650, Thunder plus 650, the Mavericks plus 650, the Suns plus 850, the Timberwolves plus 900. And then you get to the Lakers, and then Warriors, Pelicans, Kings are all 3,000 plus. And so the Lakers have gotten just enough respect to be slightly above the Warriors, Pelicans, and the Kings, but not in that class above them. And you're telling me that they're the second best team?
Absolutely, Toby. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, I don't even know where to go from here. So, like, when we get to our picks, do I assume I have four Lakers picks coming my way? You're just backing up the truck, backing up this team every chance you get.
I got a couple picks. I got a couple Lakers picks in the bag. But what I do find fascinating is, to go off the Lakers real quick, the Mavs have the third best odds to win the championship. That's an eyebrow raiser right there. And I like the Mavs. I think they are a legit threat, but I did not expect them to have the third best odds to win the championship.
I think that's a great point because I don't quite understand that line. Like, if they're going to be even with the Clippers and the Thunder to win the conference, why would they have such better odds than those two teams to win the championship? Like, that's some, like, 3D level chess where you're like, well, you know, 2 months from now, when we get to the NBA Finals, I would like the Mavericks matchup over, you know, the presumptive Celtics over those other two teams. Like, I would look at the other two teams as value plays. If they're equally likely to come out of the conference, then you're getting better odds to win the championship. I think the Mavericks, like, they're not demonstrably better than the Thunder and the Clippers if they get to the finals themselves.
Yeah, that's fascinating, especially the fact that the Mavs have the third best odds to win the championship, and the Clippers have the fourth best odds, and they're both playing each other in the first round. So one of those two teams are going to be gone. And they have top four odds to win the championship.
Well, that is a place. I really want to talk more about this Wednesday. Because the thing is, like, we need to know where the Lakers land.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Lakers, I think, will shift these odds, and we'll revisit this on Wednesday's show to see if we're right. But, like, there's some level of value arbitrage on the Western Conference winner, right? Because, like, the Mavericks and the Clippers are two of the top four odds, and one of them is going to knock the other one out. So you just have a lean there. You're better off betting that team for the conference win now, because theoretically those are going to go down to, like, plus 250 based on whoever wins that matchup.
Sticking with basketball, Mark Gunnels tells Martin Weiss why he's petrified for the Bucks in their series versus the Pacers during Lemon Pepper Parlay.
The first one that we know is absolutely set is the Bucks and the Pacers, 3 versus 6 seed. This is the game ball gate. Remember the game ball where Giannis was ready to fight everybody in Indiana? Larry Bird, get out the way because I need my game ball. Like, so we have that. What are your initial thoughts? And we'll just kind of run through these initial thoughts on the series. Obviously, they are a week away.
Yeah. So my initial thoughts, and those are the key words here, because nothing I say is going to be set in stone as far as prediction. I'm not even sure I really even have one for you right now. But my initial thoughts on this matchup is I'm scared for Milwaukee. I'm terrified for Milwaukee right now. You know, Giannis' status is up in the air. We know that that calf can be a tricky thing, man. You know, with the Achilles, we saw Kevin Durant try to come back a few years ago in the finals. Looked good for the first few minutes, and then it just gave out. I worry about
5 minutes. 5 minutes that he was cooking in the 5 minutes, boy.
Yeah. He was. And then with Giannis' play style too. You know, with KD, it was kind of more of, you could maybe see him playing through it because he's more of a jump shooter. He's not attacking as much. Giannis has the ball in his hands. He's not only looking to score for himself, but for others. He plays at a very frantic, high-paced, physical brand of basketball. So that definitely concerns me. I do think he will try to give it a go, obviously, but I'm just not sure how effective he's going to be and how long he's going to be able to actually play. So when I consider all those factors, even if he was 100% healthy, this team was still struggling with them, right? They were limping into the playoffs, losing games to bottom-of-the-barrel teams like the Washington Wizards, for crying out loud. And since Doc Rivers has been there, I don't know if they really are buying the message. It seems like they're not really playing for the guy. So maybe there's a flip. They can switch. That's always on the table for a team like this, but maybe.
Switch.
But, yeah, I know. I just totally botched that.
It's all good.
Yeah, but this Pacers team, they're 4-1 against the Bucks this year. You may think, why did they play five times? Well, they played in the
in-season tournament.
In-season tournament. Yeah. I was looking, because we did it on the graphic today on the show and on the speed. I'm like, why is it 1-4? But they played in this in-season tournament. That's why they played five times. So they've had their number this year, obviously. I'm not going to put too much stock into that because we've seen plenty of times in the regular season where one team goes 4-0 against somebody in the regular season.
And I think, I think at least three of those games, maybe four, were under the Adrian Griffin Milwaukee Bucks, matters. You know, maybe that's maybe that's even worse for Milwaukee. But the point remains, Milwaukee did go under a seismic shift in the middle of the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, initial thoughts, man, this is definitely going six, probably a seven-game series. If it goes six, I like Indiana because game six would be in Indiana. If it goes seven, it's a complete toss-up. I'm torn on this match. I really am. I'm not going to lie to you.
The injury that concerns me more than Giannis's injury is obviously humongous because of the potential of what it could be, right? Like a calf strain in and of itself, this is not the worst thing in the world. You know, if Milwaukee goes up 2-0, you're feeling good about Milwaukee's chances with Giannis coming back after that, right? He'll have a week and a half to get right. But it was just a few short years ago when Kevin Durant's thing snapped like a twig and we all saw it against the Raptors. And then Toronto won a title and was never heard from again, you know, basically after that. But if Tyrese Halliburton is not able to take this week, get his hamstring together and play like the 2020 guy he was for the first half of the season, like 20 points, 20 assists, like that was almost a given for Tyrese Halliburton. Like he was doing crazy type double, double, triple, double numbers. If he's not that guy, the Pacers to me are in trouble. I know that Milwaukee is, you know, still kind of finding their way under Doc Rivers. Dame Lillard looked absolutely tragic in the last game they played against the Orlando Magic. I think he was only 2-for-14 with 2 assists. Like that's just a non-starter, but we've seen Dame perform in the playoffs before. And I'm kind of leaning on that and, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, Giannis, I think we'll see him is at some point potentially. I mean, we'll definitely see him in this series. I think we'll see him like around game three or so. If Bucks can go 1-1 in that, then I still feel good about Milwaukee in six. But to me, the injury here really is Tyrese Halliburton because he is the engine that makes the Pacers go. And if he is not at 100%, or close to playing where he was before his injury, I think the Pacers are dead men walking.
I'm actually surprised you went on this side. I thought you'd be more on the Indiana side because we've obviously discussed Milwaukee ad nauseum on this episode, on this show for the past month or so. But I think you like the matchup. I guess that's kind of where you're leaning towards. You don't really, I don't think you really have much confidence in Milwaukee. You just like this matchup, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for Milwaukee. And I think you have, like the Pacers are, they're a good story. You know, I think that's where they're a good story.
And let's stop down for a quick break here.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Martin Weiss joins Dave Damashek on Minus 3 to discuss the NBA playoffs, including why they're both rooting against the Cleveland Cavaliers for tanking on purpose.
How say you philosophically on losing on purpose?
Well, first of all, you just proved one thing to be true. You are the biggest nerd that we know. Since you started out with hockey is for nerds and then went off on a 5 minute soliloquy about the sport on the ice. But no.
If the Penguins were playing for that eighth spot tonight, I would not be singing that song. But listen, I'm just reacting to the news. Hockey is now officially for nerds now that the Penguins are done. I'm on to baseball. Anyway, Martin,
take you know else is for nerds? This spreadsheet basketball where you're losing on purpose to try to gain the matchup so somehow you can go from the – like, if you get out in the first round or you get out in the second round, ultimately, what is that? Six more games? Who gives a good – to borrow a phrase from you, who gives a good goddamn, right? Who cares about that? Like, if you are a top four seed in either conference, you should be thinking, how can we win a championship? If you are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you should be thinking, how can we win a championship? Not how do we game our first round matchup to make sure we get to the second round to then, who knows, maybe Kawhi will trip and fall and won't be able to play. And then the Mavericks and then Luka Doncic gets arrested. And then all of a sudden, all these other things come into play and we get an easy path to the finals. No, the path to the finals is the path to the finals. That's just the way that it works. That's the way that it works. It's the way that it works. Okay. You win and you get in and you continue to win to stay in. That's how you should. Losing on purpose should never, ever, ever be beneficial for professional sports teams. The whole point of the game is winning and losing. That's why they keep score, Dave. You see, that's why they keep score.
Well, wait. I hear you. See, now you're getting into that rhetoric, which I mostly agree with, but Devil's Damashek has a couple of exceptions that prove the rule. One, do you think student athletes should be playing in the Blue Bonnet Bowl when they're going to be a first round draft pick in a couple of months? Of course they shouldn't. They should save themselves, not lay their bodies on the line for the glory of the program. That right? I mean, so we agree with that one. Right?
I was talking about professional sports.
Professional, okay.
But also, I think you have a strong argument. Depending on what the NIL money is, you might have to get out there, son.
You know, oh, that's okay.
Get out there.
I mean, of course, you know, these singular moments, and I just told you about what happened in the domino effect of what the Flyers did to pull the goalie and not just cost themselves, but they were going for it. And, you know, I'm kind of in on that, that they weren't just going to let the hockey gods decide their fate for them. They were going to press the issue and yank the goalie. Even though it increased their chances of losing the game straight up, and the domino effect and the teams that knocked off behind them. You know, I'm not opposed to tanking as an absolute. I think going 0-16, like Hugh Jackson, when the Browns decided, and by the way, the thing that gets in the way of that whole particular case is that Hugh Jackson tanked out so that they wound up with Myles Garrett. They could have wound up with Patrick Mahomes, but Hugh Jackson decided that Myles Garrett was the better player. So they did that. I, of course, benefited from the greatest tank job in sports history, which was the Penguins tanking in 1984 so that they could get Mario Lemieux. I don't think that was wrong. I think he was an all-time player or looked out. So that's an exception that proves the rule for tanking.
If you're at the bottom of the standings, you're trying to improve your draft stock for the next season. Do I like it? Not necessarily, but I understand it. We're not talking about these teams. We're not talking about the dregs of the league. We're not talking about the Cleveland Browns prior to Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield or the Penguins prior to Sidney Crosby. We're talking about teams that have already qualified for the postseason.
You are correct. It's the same difference. It's the same dynamic of like, I will frown on you from up on Mount Pius if you are headed to the Hall of Fame as a baseball player, and you juice because your ego's like, these guys are getting too much shine and I need to remind everybody who's boss. Okay, that's weird. If you're a borderline Major League Baseball player and by taking steroids, you can set up your family for the next five generations by juicing up a little bit, then I'm all for it. Right. The context does matter here. And you're exactly right. If you've been a bottom feeder for five or 10 years, then tank out. Do what you have to do. This is a disgrace if you're the Cavaliers or anybody who's a Lakers fan saying like, yeah, let's lose so that we don't have to get the defending champs. Wait, where's your dignity? I would like to be the head coach or the general manager of a pro basketball team or a pro team and walk into the room and like what the Lakers were facing in NOLA on Tuesday night. I would say, you know what? I know it's a little embarrassing and there's no dignity in it, fellas, but raise your hand, who thinks we should tank tonight because it'll provide a better matchup for us in the next week or two? And if anybody raises their hands, you say you're off the team forever. We can't have it. We can't imagine that. Do you think LeBron James would raise his hand for that? If he would, I would lose regard for him, right?
I don't know. You don't get to be that good at something without having competitive spirit. Like, you have to want to win. Like, that's the only way you can ever get to, not even just LeBron, but even the Gabe Vincent of the world. Like, you don't get to be the Gabe Vincent of the world in the NBA without having an intense desire to win. At least that's what I tell myself as I watch.
Isn't it gamesmanship though? Wouldn't that categorize as like, he's doing the smart thing that the Cavaliers now getting to play the Orlando Magic are in a better spot. We now, of course, must root against them. Right. I mean, like that's, the moral.
No, I am rooting against what the Cavaliers did in Charlotte was reprehensible, yes. Disgusting, terrible to watch, and just what's wrong with today's participation trophies across the board. I hope the Magic beat them in four games. I hope it's a sweep, and I hope none of the games are particularly close. I have never been a bigger Orlando Magic fan than I am right now. In fact, of all the first round matchups, that is the one that I will watch every single minute of and root against the Cleveland Cavaliers because they deserve it. They do not deserve it. They do not deserve to advance another round because of gaming the system the way that they tried to do.
And to round out this best of on Trendy, Toby Mergler and Mark Gunnels discuss the Clippers versus Mavericks series and how one of these teams will have to lose despite being the third and fourth highest odds to win the NBA title.
The Clippers Mavericks. The Mavericks are all the way down to -145 and the Clippers are +120. You were on the Mavericks on Monday. I don't think you're going to waver on that, but are you wavering at all on the value of the Mavericks now that it's not looking like -110, -120, it's all the way down to -145?
No, I'm going to eat the juice because this kind of tells me maybe Kawhi is not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, there was a report today that came out that they are preparing for him to be able to play. That doesn't sound too reassuring to me. And we know about Kawhi in the past and these mystery injuries. Not too much information comes out. His camp and his people around him kind of keep things in-house. So with that all in mind, I think it's worth eating the juice here because if you were to tell me for sure that Kawhi is not playing, I think this number drops down even further. So I think is actually still good value considering I'm not sure Kawhi's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about the series on Monday, you were heavy on the Mavericks, and my counterpoint was if Luka can be contained by Kawhi dialing back the clock a little bit, I don't think the Mavericks have enough secondary options to beat playoff P and the rest of the Clippers. But if he's not out there, if Kawhi's not out there at all, Luka is going to eat, man. I mean, Luka might put up like 40, 12s, and 10s over the entire series, and the Clippers don't have enough firepower with or without Kawhi to deal with Luka putting up that line, unless they're going like Caitlin Clark style and tried to isolate Luka to the point and they shut down the rest of the attack and then starve them out that way. But I just don't see it. 145 is a heavy price to pay, but if we really have doubts over Kawhi, I think it's the only price to pay in this series.
Yeah, because I would not want to be on the other side if Kawhi's not there. You know, even with the plus 120, that's not enough value there for me to be on the opposing side of Luka and Kyrie in this situation. So, yeah, it's a very tricky line, you know, with so much doubt in the air. But I would rather be on the Mavs side, even with the juice.
Six games for the Mavs is only plus 110, too. So I would actually rather eat the juice at minus 145 than play the plus 110 to think they get it done early. Like, I would actually, you know what, Mark, it's not posted here on Caesars yet. They'll probably have it eventually. I'd rather play five games over six games. Like, give me like plus 300 and give me the reward of Kawhi not being out there and then running them off the court versus like only the slight uptick versus just taking them on the money line for the series.